The North State Symphony Orchestra is back on stage this weekend, playing concerts in Chico Saturday night and Reading Sunday afternoon. The program, called Infectious Rhythms, includes a new work right from the North State. A concerto for violin and orchestra will be heard by an audience for the first time, and not just any concerto for violin and orchestra, but a new concerto by Dan Pinkston, who is the chair of the music department in Simpson University. This new work just adds to an impressive body of work, including this piece, Dan Pinkston's Symphony No. 2, as performed by the Shasta Symphony. Let's hear a bit. And Dan Pinkston joins us by phone. Thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So we know there are at least two symphonies. How many pieces altogether now? Do you have a track of it all?
Yeah, I've written about 40 pieces that are, I consider, sort of mature, good-to-go pieces. You know, as a student, you write a lot of other stuff that you wouldn't really want to hear performed anymore. But
I was going to ask about that reference to mature, ready-to-go pieces, but so there's a bunch of stuff in piles and drawers some places that don't want to see the light of day?
Yeah, I need to go through that and sort of thin that herd of pieces. Yeah, I've got a drawer full of stuff, yeah.
You seem to have many musical tastes and strengths. Are you always composing in your head?
You know, I go through periods where I'm not composing if there's something else taking over my emotional energy. You know, when my kids were born, after each one was born, I didn't write music for about a year, you know, focused on them. But, yeah, I'm always coming up with ideas and working on things. So as soon as one project's done, you know, there is a new project coming up. So
do you ever work on a couple of different pieces simultaneously, for example?
I do sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And so talk about the process. How do you get this stuff out? Do you write it down? Do you hum it into a recorder? What?
You know, I've used all kind of things. I mean, the current piece, the piece we're going to be premiering this weekend, I started writing in 2015 and basically did the bulk of the work in 2016. And, of course, I'm working on other projects at the same time. And, of course, then once it's finished, it's months and months of waiting until the rehearsals and the performance. So tonight at the rehearsal will be the first time I've heard it with the orchestra since I finished it last year, which is going to be interesting to have that time lag.
Well, I wonder then, I mean, do you consider a piece completely done at some point? I mean, is there any temptation during that period of waiting, like the one you're talking about with this piece, where you're thinking, wait a minute, there's a different kind of thing I want to do in this passage here?
Right. Well, when you're working with musicians that are skillful and that you trust, I'm always open to suggestions from them. So as the players, play through it, that's the full orchestra plus the soloist, I'm open to suggestions, and you know there have been minor changes that will probably change a dynamic or a note tonight at rehearsal. You know, as we actually hear it in the room and see how it sounds, but no, we're not going to make any major changes. Once I sort of know when a piece is right and when it's going to move an audience and sort of be the right thing for the right moment, and kind of let it go at that point.
I've always been curious in particular about pieces for orchestra and how they get built and whether there's a process that's generally the same for you each. I mean, obviously, this is a concerto for violin and orchestra, so violins featured more prominently. But, I mean, do you tend to start with one section and think, this is the kind of pulse I want from them, and then I want these guys to layer over? Or is it a different thing for each piece?
Yeah, you know, the way you just described it is actually quite right. I get a feeling in my head I'll hear strings doing this, and then I hear woodwinds coming in here and a percussion hit there. So I am thinking in terms of the sections of the orchestra quite a bit. As a composer, I think all good composers spend a lot of time studying other music that's great. And I'm sure filmmakers and painters and writers do the same thing, right? You don't have a great writer who doesn't read voraciously great literature. So I'm always looking at what other composers have done to sort of inspire, you know, and prime my creative ideas. And that's an important part of the process, too.
And who are some of the composers who loom largest in your esteem?
Yeah, so I love all kinds of music. And I, in terms of classical music, I really love the composer Shostakovich, the Russian composer. Mm-hmm. Also Stravinsky, Bartok, sort of those like early 20th century masters. I listen to, you know, Bach and Beethoven as well.
What was it that the early 20th century masters did that set them apart from their predecessors?
Yeah, well, that was a really creative time. Composers were exploring all these new things. And, those three composers that I mentioned all were very creative. Lots of new use of percussion, lots of rhythmic vitality that, you know, was unprecedented. More complex chords, although all three of those composers can write very beautiful and simple things as well. So that kind of combination of of a wide range of expression really attracts me to their music.
Dan Pinkston is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He chairs the music department at Simpson University in Reading, and his piece, Concerto for Violin and Orchestra, will premiere in a world premiere with the North State Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Laxon Auditorium in Chico, and on Sunday at 2 at the Cascade Theater in Reading. So with a concerto, as with the piece this weekend, did you have or do you have, when you write these pieces, a particular person or skill level of the violin in mind?
Well, I worked closely with Scott Seaton, the conductor of the North State, and you know he had suggested a particular violinist that he knew about, and so I did not write specifically for her. Her name is Chloe Trevor. She's a fantastic young soloist, but I did check out her website and her video, so I got a sense of how technically skillful she is. She's very skillful, and then also how expressive she is. So that really helped me have a lot of freedom writing, because I knew they're going to put this in the hands of a player who's going to handle it and who's going to, you know, do it justice. So that was a really nice treat. I mean, sometimes you compose without knowing who's going to play it, and that is not ideal. It's nice when you know exactly the skills of who's playing. So
I marvel anew, pretty much daily, sometimes hourly, about the things available to us now. The fact that, you know, I can do research for the program through the web, but you can also get to know the sounds of the musicians that who'll be playing your stuff.
Absolutely. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It truly is. So tell us, do you know, so you mentioned Chloe Trevor just now. How broad is her experience? How long has she been playing?
She's about 30 years old. She's been playing since she was one, she said. I mean, she's been a, and ever since, I think, high school, she's basically been a professional violinist. I mean, she studied, you know, multiple degrees that are all performance related, and she makes her whole living, you know, playing violin. So she's a pro.
Let's get another taste of some of Dan Pinkston's music, so our audience can hear some of this. We also have Collisions, or there's a whole bunch of different versions of this you can explain in just a moment. But this is on the solo viola, so let's hear some of this piece. It's the one called Collisions? Okay, don't think we're going to get that one. Oh, there we go. So part of Collisions by Dan Pinkston, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. I understand this premiered in Romania?
Yeah, Collisions was premiered in Romania. Actually, the piece you just played, that was actually part of one of my symphonies as well.
Oh, okay.
That was not Collisions. So Collisions is for, that particular one is for solo viola, yeah.
Okay. Tell us a bit about Collisions. I'm curious to know about why it's called that, for one thing.
Right. So there's a lot of a story there. A lot of composers, even going back to famous composers like Handel and Bach, would reuse music. They wrote up music for church. They might take that music and then use it in an opera or use it in a concerto or use it in a symphony. So you might have a melody or a chord progression that's showing up in multiple pieces. And, of course, this is before people had recordings, so nobody heard those. Nobody was in all those contexts to even recognize that was the same music. So I took a section of the violin part to my concerto that we're going to hear this weekend, and I've written 16 other pieces that use those same melodies and rhythms, although it's for all these different orchestrations and instrumentations. So Collisions 1 is for the viola, and then all the others, you know, 2 through 15 and 16, are all different combinations of instruments, like saxophone quartet, flute quartet, string quartet, all these different combinations.
And it sounds like it's a lot of fun to put together.
Yes, and I think 4 of those have been performed in Cleveland and Romania and, you know, and different places like that. So
how far and wide have you traveled with your pieces for premieres like the one in Romania?
Well, I did not get to make it to Romania.
Darn it.
But, yeah, I've had pieces performed all across the United States. This year alone, I've been in Kansas City, Dallas, San Antonio, Finland, Cleveland, Carmel. So I've had a lot of performances across the nation.
So the concerto that'll be performed tomorrow, and again, Concerto for Violin and Orchestra. Let me lay out the rest of the program. We also have the Berlioz Roman Carnival Overture, Ravel's Isigane, Moncayo's Huapango, and Stravinsky's Firebird Suite. So good company all around you. This was commissioned, was it by the North State Symphony?
So it was commissioned by two physicians who live in Reading, who are supporters of the North State Symphony, and who had heard my my previous compositions. And they got together in 2015 and commissioned me to write this piece. So it's actually, you know, independently funded from the North State Symphony. The North State, of course, is, you know, funding a lot of, you know, the performance. But it reminds me, to, you know, to tell our your listeners that anyone can actually commission a new piece of classical music. And in our world, we don't think about that because music is so mass-produced. You know, pop music, rock music is so commercially produced that we don't think that we ourselves can commission music. But there are people who commission a piece for a home performance, for an anniversary or for a birthday, for an event, for a party, or they commission something for a local high school band or choir or for a local chamber group or orchestra. So I would encourage you to think, do I want to, new art to be created that is not mass-produced, and find a composer, you know, or a poet or a painter or whatever, and offer them a little bit of money to write something for you.
So the idea of patrons of the arts is not not limited to the Renaissance Florence, for example.
No, but I mean, there's a lot of people who just don't realize that's an option. But we artists would love to make music for our community.
Dan Pinkston is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, composer and chair of the music department at Simpson University. His concerto for violin and orchestra played this weekend for the first time tonight at 7:30 at the Laxon Auditorium in Chico with the North State Symphony under the direction of Scott Seaton. Tomorrow night. Tomorrow night at 7:30, yeah. And then Sunday at 2 o'clock at the Cascade Theater in Reading. So let's talk about commissions. I mean, when somebody says, here, I will pay you to write this, to compose this piece of music, does it come with any instructions, any guidelines, any suggested themes, anything?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I was going to talk about this also. So when these men approached me about writing this piece, you know, I wanted to not only write good music, but I kind of wanted to honor them and thank them. So I asked them, what kind of music do you like? What kind of songs do you like? Or is there a band from your youth, you know, something in the rock or pop world that you liked? And both of these men mentioned a couple of pieces. So I have woven in quotations from those pieces into my concerto.
Really? So you're essentially sampling Bruce Springsteen or something into your concerto?
Not Bruce Springsteen, but so there is a little clip of a melody by the band Depeche Mode, a song from the 80s. And then there is a little reminder of Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, and so those two things are in there, and I made them sort of fit into the fabric of the piece, but they are little tributes to some of the pieces that the people who commissioned this like.
That's funny. I was going to ask you if not so much about sampling per se, but I mean, we're talking about the technology that helps us just sort of see what the rest of the world is up to at a given time and can expand our zone of influences. You know, we're in an age when popular music is created with a lot of looping and a lot of backing tracks and samples from other stuff. I mean, not that you'd ever put that stuff necessarily on stage, but anything like that is comparable in composing classical music?
Well, you know, musicians are influenced by a lot of things. I'm very influenced by, you know, the Beatles and all kinds of rock and pop music. And I actually do make electronic music as well, I mean, which involves all those kind of loops, mm-hmm. effects and samples. So I'm involved in multiple styles of music. I also play in a blues band. I mean, I've got a lot of things going on. But yeah, there have been, ever since every generation, the more recordings are available now, of course, with the Internet, it's all available. Composers are influenced by everything, by world music, by electronic music, excuse me, and the challenge is, of course, I mean, that's actually a great thing, you know, it spurs on creativity, it's a wide, you know, exciting world out there, but when you compose, you have to also sort of narrow your focus and write something that feels organic and feels like it holds together. So, yeah, the influence is there, but it may not be obvious to most listeners. And particularly in my pieces. So
I wonder, Dan, when you have 2 years, because the commission, I guess, for this piece arrived in 2015, is it like taxes or term papers? Do you kind of wait until close to the deadline?
Not me. Right. Not me. I when I get a commission, I get to work on it right away, and usually finish it quite early. That's just my personality. I mean, I've also been commissioned to compose a bass clarinet concerto for next year, and you know, I don't have to have that done for 10 months, but I'm already working furiously on it. So that's just how I work.
I was going to ask you about the bass clarinet concerto. So that's already well underway or close to completion or something?
Yeah, I'd say it's about only about a half done. I got more work to do, yeah.
So for the people who come to the concerts this weekend, again, tomorrow night in Chico and Sunday afternoon in Reading for the North State Symphony, what should they be listening for in your work?
Yeah, good question. My piece is super dramatic, very bold, a lot of colors, a lot of percussion colors, but I'm also getting different sound effects out of the orchestra in different places, so that'll be fun to listen to. It's not a boring piece, but it is has a lot of tension at times, so that idea of tension and release, resolution, is a big part of the piece as well. Also, a cool feature that you'll want to listen for is I make prominent use of two wine glasses, so the sound of the hand rubbing on the
wet wine glass. Uh-huh.
And so those, because that's very soft, that sound will connect certain sections. When the orchestra fades out, you'll be hearing that, those wine glasses.
Okay, so wine glasses included in the Concerto for Violin and Orchestra by Dan Pinkston, composer and chair of the music department at Simpson University. The concert's again Saturday night at 7:30 at the Laxon Auditorium in Chico and Sunday at 2 at the Cascade Theater in Reading. We'll leave with Nunc Dimittis, one of Dan Pinkston's bits of choral music. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure.
Take care.